Before we get into the message today, I have a little bit of a retraction from last week. I maybe left some things unclear, at least was pointed out to me by some people. So we were talking about submission one to another within the marital relationship, husbands to wives submitting to one another. And I likened it to cage fighting. And as a combat sport, and I did say it shouldn't be like that. It's supposed to represent the relationship of Christ to his church of submitting one to another. And we should not get to that point of any type of abuse, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, sexual. There should not be abuse in our Christian households in any regard at all. And possibly I left that unclear last week and made you feel like you had to suffer in an abusive relationship, and that is not okay. That is sin, and God's not okay with that. He's not on board with that. We are to treat one another as Christ treated the church, us, his bride, and our relationship should mirror that of Christ. And sometimes our mixed martial arts combat in our relationship, maybe it's not physical, but maybe we use our words and our tongue, or maybe we use emotional abuse or other abuses that can happen. But those are not acceptable or pleasing to God. They are sin, and he's not okay with it. So if you are in some sort of abusive relationship, seek help, please. That's not okay with God. And if you're an abuser, stop, because it's not okay with God. And do liken your relationship as husband and wife to that of Christ and the church. Remembering he left his world, got down out of heaven, got into our world, lived like us among us, showed us how to live, sacrificed for us, gave himself up for us. And that's what our relationship is supposed to look like. Christ loved us unto death. And it was all positive submission, not negative. Is that clear today? I got one thumbs up. Okay. We can move on. One person got it. That's wonderful. I did get a call from one of our online viewers that asked me, so what kind of mixed martial arts are we going to learn about this Sunday in church? I said, well, I don't have any planned, but if I don't behave, you never know. So we're moving along. Firm Foundations. This is the last one of our series, number 11. We've been talking about the foundation of life that is like, has to be established for us as believers over the last 10 weeks. Today being week 11, we're going to finish up with family life. In Ephesians chapter 6, moving along, we're going to look at verses 1 through 20 today. Ephesians chapter 6, picking up at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children. How many of you are children in here? Okay, all of you should have your hand up. Like, you are children of someone. Even if you're 90 or 100, you're a child of someone. So we are all children. Like specifically, this is talking about young children. But even us as adults and children, we're still a child to someone. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What does God find right and pleasing? When we act in obedience, and we could probably take it a step further to the spiritual parents of our lives, walking in obedience to them as well, when it's in the righteousness of God. Do what is right. Do the right thing. Obey. Verse number 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Do you want to know how to live a long life? obey your parents. Right? I heard it once said that the mom was really upset with her child, and she's like, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it. Hopefully it never gets to that point. But children, obey your parents, and you will have, it has a promise attached to it. Obedience turns into long life. I did a funeral last week for a gal who died just a few weeks short of 97. And as I was preparing, I was like, man, this woman must have really obeyed her parents. Because she has lived a good long life and was in her right mind right to the end. I was like, did I do that good? And I thought of this one time. I was 5 or 6 years old. We lived outside of Stites on Cottonwood Creek, and we'd went to Sunday morning church, and then a friend came over for the afternoon, and we were down at the creek playing, and we'd caught crawdads and snakes and frogs and brought it all home in this Tupperware bowl of my mom's. And so we were getting ready to go back down for evening church, and mom's like, all right, we'll go dump the animals back in the creek so I can have my bowl back and the animals can live. So we went down to the creek, and before we left, of course, we had dressed and got ready for church. She said, by no means are you to get in the water. Stay clean, stay dry. So we went down to the little bridge and put the animals back in the water. And my friend, he looks at the bowl in his hand and goes, oops, it fell in. So we jumped off the bridge and played in the creek for a while. And then we came walking back. It was about a quarter mile back up to the house. And we got to the house, and my mom looks at us. I think there was some semblance of fire in her eyes. And of course, my friend wasn't her child, so she didn't discipline him. But I was her child. So I had a real quick meeting with the Board of Education. It was applied to the seat of knowledge. And of course, wet clothes like hurt. I don't know if you've ever had many spankings in your life. I've experienced a lot, so I have lots of knowledge in that area. But it hurts when you're in wet clothes. And my mom spanked me and said, have you had enough? I said, yeah. She thought I said, nah. So she really let me have it after that. I learned obedience is a good thing that day. With lack of obedience, there should be discipline which turns our hearts back to obedience. Discipline has an end game. It's not abuse, but it's to bring about a right behavior. That, of course, us as believers is to be in the right standing or righteousness of God that turns our heart back toward Him. But if you want to live a long life, obey. That's the word of God. Clear back, it's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. A promise attached to it, and live a long life. I don't think it's too late to start. Especially for you young people. Get a head start on this. Obey your mom and dad. This is not a suggestion that God gives us. This is a command. To honor your mother and father. And whether you had a good mother and father, you can still honor them. Whether they were abusive and horrible or loving and kind and took care of you well, either way, you can still honor them well. That is right before God. You might have to set up some boundaries, but you can still honor them in the place that God would ask you to honor them and love them well. Verse number 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't abuse them. Don't spur them on to anger. Don't make them feel like they can never do anything right and never accomplish it or get it done. But empower them. Discipline should build and train and direct and push in a positive direction into the instruction and teaching of the Lord. but it should not make them feel belittled or worthless or unaccomplished or like they have no value. That's abuse. But proper instruction and discipline is very valuable. Very valuable. We have lots of discipline in our lives. Are you taking pictures? It was a flashing light. Sorry, I get distracted easily. Squirrel. I used discipline this morning getting to church. Actually, I didn't. My wife drove. She did. She stayed between the mustard and the mayo. Right? We had lots of oncoming traffic. There was lots of dangers coming at us. But we were disciplined to stay in our lane, and it kept us out of the ER or the morgue. Like spiritually, that's how it is. If we're not disciplined, we get out of our lane and we cause wreckage and havoc and even unto death. If we don't stay within the discipline, God's word, his instruction manual for our lives, and we shouldn't use shame and guilt and judgment, because that makes people feel like they can't measure up and there's no way I could follow that and stay between the lines. But we should use instruction, discipline, and encouragement that says, yeah, I can do it. I'm not there yet, but I can do it. There was a point where I wasn't a very good driver. I was like 10. Maybe 9. But I learned after a bit, you can keep the vehicle in one lane and not both. Even if you pay taxes on both sides, you should stay in your lane when you're going that direction. Use the other lane when you're coming back. But discipline should be a good, positive thing in our lives and not negative if instructed and delivered as God has designed it to be. It's a positive thing to keep us out of trouble. Verses 5 through 8. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord and not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Slavery's mostly gone. I won't say all the way, but in our area, but we still have bosses, we still have leaders that we are submit to and serve as though we are serving Christ himself. That's what God asks us to do. Do it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as unto God and not to man. But if my boss was Jesus, how would I serve him? My boss is Jesus, my wife says. He is, really. He's the boss of my life. But are we acting that way? Are those officials over us? Do we serve them as we would serve Jesus? Do we submit to them as we would submit to Jesus? That's getting kind of heavy. But we're supposed to serve and do work as unto the Lord, regardless of what we're doing. Do God's will from your heart. God, I want to please you. I want to serve you. And I don't care if I'm scrubbing toilets today or building mansions. I want to serve you and do a great job. And if it's toilets, they're going to be the cleanest ones in the nation. And if it's building mansions, they're going to be the best ones in the nation. But whatever I do, I'm doing unto you. One of my kids at practice the other day, they were kind of slacking a little. There was actually several of them slacking a little bit. And so I was showing them how to do something, and they were doing it a little lazily. And I'm like, hey, just do it fast, do it hard, like with intention. Do it to the best of your ability. You're giving me like 25% right now. And I showed them how to do it a couple reps. And then they're like, why do you try so hard, coach? I'm like, because that's as good as I could do it at my age. Like, and I'm not even getting in the game. I don't get to play. But it's to the best of my ability, even if it's a dumb sport. I wore my baseball Jesus Saves shirt today, in case anybody wanted to see it. But whatever you do, whatever your hand finds to do, the Word of God instructs us, do it to the best of your ability as unto the Lord. Whether you're in work or play, recreation, in relationship with people, do it to the best of your ability as though you're serving the Lord. Look beyond your earthly masters and do it as unto the Lord. Serve God and not people. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Seek Him first. See how this is an earthly job, but I'm doing it as though I'm doing it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse number 9. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So as a boss, as someone who's over someone else, treat them fairly. Don't threaten them, but treat them fairly. Treat them with the same kindness and respect that the Lord has given to you. Treat them as though Jesus was on your team and working for you. See them as the child of God, his creation in his image and likeness that they are. And we're going to shift gears in this chapter. Verse 10, the armor of God. Do you know you need some help in life? Does anybody else need help in life? Yes. I need lots of help in life. I thank God that he gave us an owner's manual. The armor of God, something we need to apply to our lives daily. This isn't like drag it out once a year for Easter Sunday and then put it back. This is something we should operate in fully each and every day. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So whose strength are we in? The Lord's. Don't operate in your own strength, but be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength and power. Have you ever got to the end of your own power? We helped shovel out some mud and rock this week from a flooded basement, and I felt like I was at the end of my power. And today I still feel like it, just if I'm being honest. But God says, don't do things in your own strength, but do it in my power, my strength, my wisdom, my counsel, my guidance. Verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Oops, I went one too far. So we have to physically put it on, not physically, but like we have to engage and do this. Like, think about it. Something you need to engage in daily. Take a stand. Do you know that you have an enemy? His name is Satan. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't have your soul, he wants to steal your happiness, your joy, your peace, your love, your patience, your kindness, your goodness. He'll still kill and destroy those things too. He'll still kill and destroy your character witness in the community. He'll still kill and destroy your dreams, your hopes, the visions God has placed upon your heart. If he can't have your soul, he'll take whatever he can. But we need to put on the full armor of God so that we are able to take a stand against the enemy, because he is alive, he is active, and he is moving against us. He is not for us. Verse 12. Here's the truth. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. How often do you fight your battle on a physical level, and it's really a spiritual one? How often do you look at your spouse, your child, your neighbor, your workmate or employer, and your battle's there, instead of saying, this is not the right battle to be fighting. I need to go to the spiritual heavenly realms and fight this battle. If you're with your spouse or your parent today, turn and look at them and go, you're not my enemy. Not very many people did that. Okay, try it again. If you're with your spouse or a friend or a neighbor or a parent, turn and look at them and say, you're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. The real enemy is Satan. And he is out to get us any way he can. Therefore, picking up at verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. I have a quick story. I know the truth and understand it. So several years ago, probably 15 years ago, I had this bird hunter. He came out hunting. He was a solo hunter. And usually we take our guests to the Sporting Clays range, let them shoot a few clay targets, get comfortable with the gun. And he's like, no, I've been hunting for years. I don't need to do that. So, okay, let's go hunting. So we go hunting. He shot very poorly. It was a 3-day bird hunt, and every day, same scenario. And I offered several times, let's go shoot Sporting Clays so I can watch you shoot and see if we can correct a few things. It's usually some pretty simple tweaks. But when I'm on the field and got my dogs on the ground and I'm on the ground, I'm paying attention to our better safety more than I am how you're shooting your gun. So for 3 days, we shot and shot. Well, he shot. I didn't get to shoot. And he didn't take home very many birds. Usually that's a lot of birds to take home. He didn't take home very many. Comes back the following year and has this brand new custom shotgun. It's beautiful. He's like, yeah, your guys' guns don't work. So he has his new gun and we go out. Same scenario. I offer to do Sporting Clays. No thanks. Don't want to waste time. I want to shoot birds. I want to take meat home. 3 days go by. Still same result. Next year he comes back again. Now he's got his own fancy new gun. He brought his own ammo because our ammo's no good. Got his own gun, his own ammo. We get out the first morning. We park the truck, and I set my dog out of the truck, and he goes on point when he hits the ground. I was like trying to get him to go, and he won't move, and I'm like, I think he's actually on point. There happened to be a covey of quail right over the bank in a brush patch there. So we get him out, get him ready, and the quail get up, and boom, he shoots a quail. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great day. He shot 75 rounds the rest of the morning and never touched another bird. And the rest of the 3 days was the same. And finally, the ranch and the guide was no good. So he went to a different ranch. But if we don't know the truth of our situation, our spiritual lives can look the same way. And we start pointing fingers and you're the problem, you're the problem, you're the problem. And we never get to hear, maybe there are some things this guy needs to work on. And the armor of God helps us do that as we get into it here in a moment. But the armor of God is our checklist of like, I need this to get through every day. I need this to avoid the devil's schemes and his attacks against me. I need this to look at those around me with the eyes of Christ, with the love and compassion that he has for them, and not Arby. I need this for truth in my life to guide me. Verse 13, Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So the day of evil's coming, and the devil might leave you alone for a few days to make you think, oh, it's over, I'm free. And we get lazy, and yes, man, that shield of faith is just heavy, I'm going to leave it at home. Or, that breastplate of righteousness is kind of heavy, I'm going to not wear it for a few days. And we start getting lazy. The sword of the Spirit is, I have to get up an hour early if I want to read that. I don't have time for that in my day. So pretty soon it begins to collect dust. So I think the devil leaves us alone for a while, so we get lazy. And he quits attacking us. As a pastor, I see this over and over. People have struggle, they have hardship, life isn't going well, they seek counsel, they seek guidance, they start coming to church. Then life gets good again, and they're like, well, we're fixed. And it breaks my heart. And I know it breaks God's heart, because he longs for relationship with you and I. He longs to be involved and engaged in not only our highlights, but our lowlights and everywhere in between. And he invites us to that daily walk with him if we will choose it, if we will pick it up. So put on the full armor of God and stand firm. And when you've done everything you can, stand still. Remain. Verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. You know you need to start your day with truth. The truth of God's word. The truth about who God says you are. The truth about who you have been created to be. You need to start your day with that truth. Father, let your truth fill my mind today. Let your truth fill my heart today. Let your truth about those who I interact with and see be in my mind, how you see them, who you say they are, that I would speak truth when speaking over them, when speaking to them. God, that I would not be deceived by any lies or deception. The thing about the belt of truth, the Roman belt of truth, it was their soldier's belt, but it would go down to here, would cover your main arteries, your blood flow, your supply. It would cover your reproductive organs. When we produce, we want to reproduce truth coming out. So when we put on the belt of truth, it's protecting what we're reproducing through our words, through our thoughts. The breastplate of righteousness also covers all of our major organs, our thumper. The breastplate of righteousness. Being in right standing with God. We need that. I want every day to be in right standing with the Heavenly Father. But I've got to put on, God, help my actions, my thoughts, my words, my deeds today to bring you glory and honor. God, let me make the right decisions in hard situations. God, let me make decisions and statements that glorify and honor you in all that I do. That's putting on the breastplate of righteousness each and every day. Also protects our vital organs. It is vital that you wear the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, these are your character that goes forth. And when you proclaim, I'm a Christian, I serve Jesus, and you don't have your belt of truth on or your breastplate of righteousness, then people see you proclaiming to be like Christ but not acting like him. And that's who they think he is. And we're putting out a false identity of who Christ is because we're not acting appropriately but claiming to be. This is huge. Christ calls us to be Christians or Christ-like. And when we proclaim it, we better be acting it. We better be speaking it. And when the world sees us, we might be the only reflection of Christ they have. How are my words? How are my thoughts? How are my actions? Am I reflecting Christ well? If not, I need to make some apologies and ask forgiveness and get back on track. Put on my belt of truth, put on my breastplate of righteousness, and get my character and my integrity right before God, so it's also right before man. Verse 15. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Your feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Do you bring peace when you go places? Does the peace of the Holy Spirit that transcends all understanding go with you to environments, to rooms? I mean, it should be felt physically when you walk in a room. My wife and I have had that commented several times to us in different places, and even our kids at school, teachers and principals have commented, we can tell when your kids aren't here. That's the Holy Spirit traveling with you as your feet are shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And it should be noticed when you arrive, not because you're great, but because the Holy Spirit living inside of you is so evident that you change the atmosphere because his presence goes with you. I saw this really cool tree on my walk with God this week. Was struck by lightning in the storm. It was this giant pine tree, probably this big around, huge. And the tree that actually got struck just had a little up the top 100 feet of the tree. You could see the bark was split. But there was a white fir, probably a 12-inch tree, not real big, right next to it, about half the height. And because it was close to the tree that got struck, it exploded. It looked like pixie sticks. There were chunks of trees scattered for 300, maybe 400 feet away, and all the bark and everything was blown off one side, and it was a mess. The power didn't actually touch that tree, but it was in the presence of the one who absorbed the power. If we're in the presence of the Lord, his power shows through us. If we spend time with him, we don't have to be him. We just have to spend time in his presence. And that stuff just starts coming off of us wherever we go, whatever we do. It should make a difference in the lives of those around us. So have your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith is huge. The enemy's launching arrows at you. What are you defending yourself with? We should be carrying our shield of faith. Faith is the belief and the hope for things we have not yet seen. That's standing on the promises of God. God, I don't know how. It doesn't line up right now in my situation and my circumstance, and I can't see it physically, but your word says your promises are true. So I'm standing on your word today, regardless of what my situation says. And even if I don't understand, even if I don't get it, I'm going to trust that you're going to do what's right, because I know you're true. I know you're faithful. I know you're just. I know you're kind. I know you're loving. And I know that, what was the verse the kids are learning? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And God, there's just some things I don't get, but I'm going to trust you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I don't know why or what for, but I trust you. That's our shield of faith. The devil would try to send darts of fear. Fear, I heard this acronym years ago that I've always liked. It's false evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Have you ever had that in your life? You ever saw something that, man, it appeared real, but it was false evidence? Yeah. The Word of God says, I've given you the shield of faith. Have no fear. True love casts out all fear. The love of the Father. I know I'm loved by you. And this looks dangerous and yucky right now, but I'm going to trust in you to see me through, to protect me, to take care of me. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Holy Bible. The helmet of salvation. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and receive salvation, you also receive the Holy Spirit. You receive this incredible source of wisdom and instruction and guidance and counsel. If you'll just pause and say, Holy Spirit, what do you say? Holy Spirit, lead and direct me in this decision. Holy Spirit, lead and direct me in this day. Holy Spirit, lead and direct me in this process of life. What do you say? What is your will for me today? That helmet of salvation. It's powerful. Saves my soul from hell. It says I have eternity in Christ Jesus. Definitely don't leave home without your helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. How do we fight our battles? A sword seems like a pretty key piece, right? If we're going to be on the offense. How do we fight with paper? Because we war not against flesh and blood. We war against spiritual dark forces in the heavenly realms. We war against those thoughts in our minds, those thoughts in our hearts that would say, you're not good enough. You've done too many bad things. You're not worthy. You're not accepted. You're not wanted. You're not loved. Those are the attacks the enemy sends against us to cause fear and doubt, to overwhelm our hearts and minds. No, but it says right here, in the beginning, God made them male and female in his image and likeness. That was for humanity. Human race was made and created in the image and likeness. And that's just one verse that we could go camp on and say, no, devil, you're wrong. My God says I'm worthy. And if you want to fast forward, devil, there's this place where God's one and only son came and he died for me. He said, Arby's worth dying for. I'll go to the cross for him. Put your name in there. Say, I'm worth dying for. Say, so you're wrong, devil. My circumstance, my situation, this false evidence appearing real. It's just a facade, devil. I'm not going to believe it because God's word says. That's how we fight with the sword of the Spirit. Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray, 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 pray. Prayer is something we can do anywhere we are, any time of the day. We can do it silently. We can do it out loud. You don't have to be in church to pray. You don't have to be in a crisis situation to pray. And prayer is so big. There's so many. There's prayers of thanksgiving and prayers of rejoicing and prayers of lament and prayers of request and petitions and prayers of intercession, and prayer goes on and on and on. Prayer should be a part of your daily life all day long. Prayers of thanks at your meal times, just acknowledgement of God, I know you're the giver of everything we have. We We want to give acknowledgement to you and thank you for it. It can be that simple. But pray in the Spirit. Maybe you pray in tongues. I hope you do. If you don't, pray and ask God for it. The Word of God says the Holy Spirit gives the utterance of tongues to whom he chooses. The Word of God instructs us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. All kinds of prayers and requests. God invites us to make our requests known to him. God invites us to seek him. What are your requests to God? I've prayed some pretty specific prayers over my life at different times, and God has answered them pretty specifically. He tells us to be specific in our request. It also tells us to be alert. Be alert, why? Because of the devil. He is sneaky and he is sly. He's good at what he does. Steal, kill, and destroy. Lie and deceive. Don't be afraid of him, but be aware. Be alert. Always pray for God's people. Pray for other believers, not just the body of the Life Center. But man, the body of Christ is 2 billion people across the globe, maybe 3 billion. It's a lot. Pray for the body of believers in Christ Jesus. Verse 19 and 20. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as I should. Pray for those who deliver the word of God. I feel selfish asking that, but man, pray for your pastor. Your pastor struggles, fights battles. Pray for the other pastors of our valley, of our world, of our nation. Pray broadly for God, all those who deliver your word, that they would be clear, that they would be accurate, that they would be truthful, that they would declare your word that you've given them. The word of God instructs us to do that. Part of family life should be praying for those who deliver the word of God. There's an endless amount of praying to do. That's why the Word of God says, pray without ceasing. We can always pray about something. There's never a right or wrong time to pray, but now is the best time to pray. So pray for those around you. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for your families. Pray for your church family. Pray for your work, your business, your place of employment. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, God, for your instruction, God, for living, God, a life, God, family life, everyday life, God, that is pleasing and honorable to you. God, we thank you for the instruction of your word, God, for the founding principles, God, to govern and guide our lives. God, that we would live according to your word, your promises, and your truths. God, that we would be a light shining to those around us of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your glory, God, of your generosity. God, give us opportunity, God, that we would lead others, God, into salvation, that they too may know you as their Lord and Savior. God, train and equip us, God, that we could develop those around us into followers, disciples of you. Father, we thank you for this. God, we thank you for family, for friends, for relationship. God, that we get to experience life together. God, teach and show us, God. God, the areas that we are in error and not serving you appropriately. And God, I ask that you would just show us the correct way. God, bring advisors and counselors alongside of us. God, bring mentors. leaders over us, God, that would steer us into your holiness, into your righteousness. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.